All right, good morning again. Come on in. We are still in the middle of our series that will continue on for some time, and who knows when it will finish on spiritual formation, but we are taking a quick aside, and I'm sure there are things that Greg's going to share that deal with spiritual formation in some way, shape, or form. But what we want to do is just give an opportunity within our network of churches. So beyond Beggar's Gate, we are part of an alliance, we call it, of churches called M28 Alliance. Matthew 28, Jesus's command to go and make disciples. And so there's a covenantal community of churches that say, that's our vision, is to make disciples. That's first and foremost what we unite under as a mission together of churches, is to help churches disciple the nations. That's our little tagline. And in that, there's leadership support. In that, there's conferences and training. In that, there's all sorts of stuff. And Greg is part of the board and part of the leadership team of M28. He's in town. They're having a leadership time in Loveland this week. And while he was in town, we thought this would be a really great opportunity for us as a body. I don't know how many times we get, just a few times, to connect with things outside within that M28 Alliance. There's been this link program that we've been doing in Greeley with other churches. A few of us were over there with that. DTC is an opportunity when we connect with other churches, any other conferences and things like that. But on a Sunday morning, in general, we don't tend to get a ton of opportunity to do that. And so we thought this would be a great opportunity for us. Get to know Greg, get to know what's going on. They're in the city of Angels, Los Angeles, and get to share about what God's doing in Los Angeles and how they're seeing the kingdom expand there. As well as you think about the challenges that we run into here, when you think about why isn't the kingdom being pushed forward more here, maybe there's something broader that we can learn and see that are there opportunities that maybe they're learning, that they're growing in, that we can learn from. And that's what we love to do within M28, is to collaborate and to think, how can we help each other? How can we work together in that? And so this is just a great opportunity, and hopefully there'll be a little bit of chance for some back and forth Q&A if people have things they want to learn about you. But come on up, and Greg, thanks for coming to share. He's a dear brother. I gotten to stay at his house and be with his family a number of trips. Seth and Isaac and Josh and a number of us were out there. Click.
My mic.
Your mic. So it's good to have him out here and get a chance to hear from him this morning. So thanks, Greg.
All right. How does this work? Can I go? Okay. All right. Well, it is good to be here. My name is Greg Chrisman, spelled like Christ man, and I tell folks all the time that I'm just a man who happened to find Christ. Part of my own story is coming to Christ at a fairly young age and having some bad influences in my life, wanting to run with boys and kind of kids that wanted to be a gang. And it was really John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give life to the fullest, abundant life. And as a young man, I thought, that's what I want. I want abundant life. And for me, coming to Christ was really, I was thinking about this during worship, actually, was Psalm 2 has a few verses about he who sits in the heavens laughs, and so on. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but it says, I tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So this is that psalm where the Almighty is talking to his begotten son. It's wild. It says, ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. And I'm telling you, as much as I'm standing here today, that has been one of my main motivations in life, is the supremacy of Christ in my life to the nations. And it's just been wild for me to think about that I'm here. And I wouldn't be here today in many ways without you guys. And I'm going to share more about that. I was asked by Nathan and Pat to share a bunch of photos, which I'm going to. But my main point here today is just, how do we live our lives in relation to the supremacy of Christ. Now I'm going to look at a couple verses in Philippians, and so pray with me, and we're going to jump into a number of stories here first, and then kind of the Philippians verses, and then a number of stories. So does that make sense? Story, word, story. All right, yeah. Pray with me. Well, Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we are just amazed that you had purposes and plans with us in mind. And we can look to your Son, and just like Nathan mentioned, Matthew 28, really the fulfillment of that Psalm 2. Lord, that you have gone forth to the nations, even as we look at these pictures, you're doing it right now. It's amazing. But much like each of us, I can just look at my own toes, and that's as far as I can see. Lord, would you move in us here this morning, encourage us, remind us whose we are. We are yours. Lord, we want you to get the glory. Lord, thank you so much for the saints here and how you've been using them to the nations. Yeah. Lord, encourage us in your spirit, in your Son's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So a number of photos here up front just to remind you who I am. So this was one of the many family photos we took for this year's Christmas card. If you got my Christmas card, that's not what you saw, you know, because it's just insane how many photos you take for like one Christmas card. And anyway, I really like this one, though, partly because like we're in sweaters. It's my backyard. You think, oh, it's Los Angeles. Yeah, we wear sweaters. But also behind us, which is kind of the bookend here, you saw this one. That is what the grapevine looks like now. This is what it looked like back in November. And there's an old fence behind that that actually got torn down. And I'm going to share more about that story. But that's my lovely bride, Julie. My son, 12, is Cana. Next to me is Elle. She's 10. And then Cora is 8. And just a few stories to bring you into a place, right? We're people in a place. So there's a little bit of introduction going on here. This isn't like I'm just going to walk through a passage and, you know, you're going to get. But if you are a note taker, one thing that I thought of as these stories unfold, and even the little ones in our church take lots of notes, is make notes about what story stood out to you, connected with you. You might even share that later with somebody here. All right. So my three kids, we just came out of a big soccer season. I coach soccer. I was joking about my Indiana Pacers because growing up in Indiana, if you don't know, it has a state religion. I don't know if you knew this. Yeah, it's called Hoosier basketball. My high school arena sat over 20,000. That's just for a high school. It was amazing. But I didn't play. Oh, well, I did play basketball, but I played it like a soccer player. My first love is soccer. And so I coach my kids. That's my daughter, my middle daughter. Yes, she started as a goalie. She is very possessive. She is very intense and very focused. She's a team builder. She would huddle up the girls and say, "Let's do this." And if she got scored on, she felt it very deeply. And this was the final match. She got to the champion league, as we say, the final game, and she lost 1-0. I know. She also plays on the field, and if you are a soccer player and you know Dutch football, there's a famous Robin who plays on the right side. That's like her example, cutting in, shooting with the left foot from the right side, and she's pretty amazing. And Letzi, next to her, who's like 6 inches taller than her, is actually a year younger than her. So that happens. All right. So here is my youngest. I missed one. That's all right. This is my youngest. She won the cup, Champions Cup. There's dad geeking out. And It is such a joy. This is a theme here this morning. Is to me, it's not about the cup. She's seen the Olympics. She's seen them bite the medal, you know, and so that's what she's doing. You know, she's mimicking that. For me, these gals, in getting to build into their lives, like I'm smiling, but I was like crying the next minute. Because to me, it's not about the cup. It's about being with my daughter, with these young people, and being able to build into their lives. This was just, what is today, Sunday? This was Wednesday. We went up to the Ronald Reagan Library, and we got to see the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I probably could have taken a picture of, but there's much better pictures online. But there are really cool things, like this mosaic here is from a second century church from Psalm 118 in Greek, of Christians that were already laying mosaics on the ground. I love that. And then my daughters really loved, these are actually from the time of Jesus. These rings were found in Jerusalem. And that's just cool to think about. And then that's a little coin during the Crusade era. And then behind us there is Air Force One. The seven presidents used. And there's a dial-up phone in every seat. So for the record, maybe some of you young folks, there used to be phones that were connected by cords. Anyway. This is our homeschool co-op. There are about five kids that are not there. And you'll notice that my son stands out. We do have a growing homeschooling co-op. They meet every Thursday. And this was just last week. That was our kind of final play day. They're all eating popsicles. So that's my family, a little bit of who we fellowship with. And moving to L.A., my heart, going back to Psalm 2, was for the nations. I never really thought I'd live in L.A. I actually, the year before that, before moving there, I was helping start a church in Torino, Italy. And I thought, man, maybe I'm going to be in Italy. And it ended up through prayer and counsel, ended up in L.A. And that's where I met my wife. And here we are. You guys have impacted us in a deep way. Even last year, or this year in January, when the LA fires happened, you know, it was really through Nathan that you guys did that Zoom link with us, and we weren't able to meet on campus, and so we were in this rented space. I don't know if you remember that day. That really had an impact on us, and that's partly what we're doing here this morning, is I'm having the opportunity to say, thank you. Thank you for being partners with us. Many of you remember years ago I was hit in a bicycling incident. It was a hit and run. I was in the hospital and almost died. And it was really through Pat and many of your love and support. And a couple of you even asked this morning, how are you doing? Well, that was a week ago, 6 years ago. Yeah. And I think about our movement of churches really partnering with one another. And when I think about going to the nations, I do think about these faces. And so, you know, if you're under the age of 12, I think about you. I think about who you're going to marry. I think about fundamentally who you're going to be, whose you're going to be. And that comes back to Psalm 2, the supremacy of Christ. Part of the theme this morning is going to be the supremacy of Christ in the midst of traumatic events. And you guys are a great example through your leadership here of learning how to talk about trauma, learning how to share with one another, live life together. These are just a couple of the photos. The bottom left would be the Palisades Fire. This is Highway 1 on the left. Just on the other side of these buildings is the ocean. And so that's the Malibu Hills. And then on the right, in the background, I'm forgetting the name of the fire now, but it's up by Pasadena and Azusa, and so that's behind downtown. And as you can see, it looks like a bomb went off, right? You guys called us up, and you said, can we pray for you? This photo shows that the one on the right here is the Azusa fire. The one on the left there is the Palisades fire. And the one on the right, that smoke is going right over downtown and right over our neighborhood. And actually, it was that day that a number of people in our church who don't have AC, they went to the right, which is Orange County, just to get clean air. This photo is very important to me on a lot of levels. I have an architecture background, went to the Ball State University, commonly known as the Harvard of the Midwest. It's not at all. It's like the number one party school in Indiana. But I did study architecture there, and this is a neighborhood in the Malibu Hills, and you can just see how that car is incinerated right next to that wall, and this house was built and finished last year with fires in mind. And this architect has, there are many write-ups about this building, actually, and they go kind of both ways on good, bad. You know, as an architect and as someone who cares about the nations, what this represents to me is we protect what we care about. We protect what we care about. They went to great lengths to make sure that no fire would damage this place. And so that's where I want to shift gears and say thank you. Thank you for caring for each other. Thank you for caring for us in LA. You have shown a level of protection in Christ because of who Christ is. And what I want to call this is shipmates on the high seas, the LA hoods to the Loveland hoods. I'm going to look at a number of verses here, but I really do think about being out on a sea. And that may be hard for you to imagine, but your little church here is going somewhere. Whose glory is it for? What glory are you aiming towards? And our little church is doing the same thing. There really is something here that unites us. And that's what I want to focus us on. Is here in Philippians, this is the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of 4. And I'm just going to read this whole thing. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like the glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. I'm just going to start here. I'm just going to fly through this a little bit because I have these stories at the end that I pray would just inspire you. But we want to be a people that are formed by the Word, in the Word, and I was going to start just in chapter 4, and it starts with the verse or the word therefore, which if you come from the discipleship background that I came from, you always ask, what's the therefore, therefore? All right, you're with me. Well, it's therefore because your citizenship is in heaven. And you're going to transform and be like his glorious body. There's a glory awaiting you. Where your ship is going is a glory. It's a weight. It is amazing, and it's a power that's not your own. And it's in Christ. And that's why he says, therefore, since your citizenship is there, since your glory, since your ship is heading that direction, I'm going to get a little edgy. How you live as shipmates makes a difference. All right, so just a few observations here. Our ships are sailing to the same place. We're united. We're standing firm in the Lord. And what's really cool is it says, my beloved, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. So, affectionately. brothers and sisters, there is something here that we need to feel deeply, our unity, our standing firm. And then thirdly, to agree in the Lord. To agree infers that there's something to agree on. I see a number of folks that would give me the impression that you're married. Everyone has an opinion. When you're working together on something, there are going to be two different opinions. And we see here two sisters, Euodia and Syntyche, they needed help in the Lord. They were actually already laboring. There's some sort of discord on the ship that Paul is saying, your glory is in Christ. Now you're beloved and you're united. You're working to stand firm. And he goes on to say, work on that. And it made me think about, I really love the book of Philippians, but it made me back up to this verse. Philippians 3:8. This is my main point. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. I don't know if that is instantaneous. That wasn't instantaneous for me. The surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ has only become more surpassing as I've applied my faith in working through difficulties. Time and time again, I have shipmates that don't want to, don't want to mop the deck. Forget to tie things off. They're falling off the edge. We're going to get to stories. But I just want you to think about this. This is where we hang our hat. It has to start here. The surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Just a few observations here. Is this glory is his supremacy and lordship. Take me back to when I first turned to Jesus. I had these friends that wanted to steal, wanted to sell drugs. I mean, right there in, the state religion of basketball. For me, it was just obvious. Christ, you have to be my Lord. If I'm going to have abundant life, I have to follow you. This gospel is aimed at vastly different people groups uniting in the lordship of Jesus. Even here in the book of Philippians, these two women, even by their names, you could do a little bit of study and recognize they probably come from different areas. And they're laboring with Paul and Clement. Different peoples are working together. Christ is greater than their ethnicities. They're finding some way of working together because of the supremacy of Christ. Just a few examples, and this is just a brief flyover. You could do a much deeper study, but in Acts 15, right? The council in Jerusalem is having this conflict. What do we do? And fundamentally says, hey, don't bother. Christ's blood is way thicker than trying to make sure that everything's in alignment. Or like in Galatians, it's almost like how the chairs are sat. Don't argue over that. Christ has supremacy. Yeah. Colossians talks about all these different people groups being united together. Barbarians and Scythians. That's the supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. This really revolutionizes our earthly loves, I think, without insulting them. The glory of Christ and his kingdom flattens all other interests. Yes, I love soccer way more than basketball. I am so grateful for soccer. I'm so grateful for surfing, for hiking, for cycling. All of those things, though, for me, is where I feel God's good pleasure. I want to point to him. Right now, we're working with a number of men in our church. We've been doing this for a number of years, and really getting them in their vocations to think about working as unto the Lord. See, the supremacy of Christ is, hey, I want to be a carpenter to his glory. Surpassing knowledge of Christ compared to what? That's fundamentally what I'm left with in this passage. He's saying, I have the surpassing knowledge of Christ. But what is that fundamentally in relation to? Probably all sorts of things. How we use our money, how we spend our time, how we engage people at work. Is Christ the supreme? You know, I've been using the ship analogy, and I find that humans, myself included, tend to get in a rut. And this picture on the right, I think, is a picture from, oh my gosh, why can't I think of the area that's down by me in California? But it's like a little party cruise, a little party boat, you know? It looks really great. All those people on there, I mean, they were just waving, they're standing up, you know? They probably had some hors d'oeuvres. And then you have the picture on the left, and it's serious business. It's go time. It's like, whoa. There's fear. There's concern. I really think Christ wants to meet us in both. He wants to meet us in both. Before I shift gears, back to Philippians 4, says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. So there on the right, we share concerns for one another. Even further down, he said in verse 14, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. We share troubles with one another. And then in the very last sentence, he said, no church entered into partnership with me in giving, receiving, except only you. There is a partnership in the gospel that changes everything. And a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but actually very true. You are the only church who reached out. During those fires, I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about you guys. I'm standing here right now. This becomes very real to me. I pray that you get the point. It's about the supremacy of Christ that you shared in those things with us. That the gospel of Christ covers so many of the differences that we have. And I'm about to share some stories that probably are just like life here. They're just happening, you know, in the foreign country of LA County. Yes, you need your passport to get in. That's a little tongue-in-cheek. So a few stories here from the inside out, my own family, and then we're going to look at a couple other in the life of the church, how I've seen this lived out. So my son there, he does work for a neighbor, Carlos, and Carlos has a gang background. He's all tatted up, and he's kind of taken a liking to our family. I actually did a 20th anniversary for he and his wife where they renewed their vows. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. That was shortly after my bike incident, too. I don't remember it. He tells me all the time it was great. Can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did lots of things. Yeah, probably shouldn't have, but it's okay. The Lord meets us in those. And so he lost his dog. The same week as he lost his dog, he found a baby pigeon. And he just wanted to take care of this pigeon. And he called me up. He said, hey, I'm going out of town. Would Canaan take care of this pigeon? And I bring it up with Canaan, and Canaan's like, no. I will cut his grass. I will dig dirt. I will dig a cistern in his backyard. I don't want anything to do with a pigeon. My son has opinions. My wife and I talk it over, and one of our themes this summer in our kids, there is no summer. There's no summer off. Our summer school, the theme of our summer school is do hard things. And so I looked at Julie. I said, I think because he doesn't want to do it, we're going to do it. And so went over there. Carlos had a box and this little baby pigeon, and he was showing us how he's been feeding it through this little beaker with mashed up, applesauce and bananas and then some pine nuts, and he's just trying to nurse him. He's just trying to nurse this little pigeon. Even in me, I'm like, those are the rats of the air. Like, like I live in L.A. Like, I'm trying to get there. I can't believe this is happening in my backyard. But for the gospel, the supremacy of Christ in discipling my kids in relation to knowing the surpassing knowledge of Christ. I walked my kids over there. We got the box. Even my son. We had a meeting because he was not quick, cheerful, and complete. We got the box in our backyard, and this is the same afternoon he got the bird. Just a few moments later, his heart totally turned, and this little 12-year-old, not little anymore, he took on this responsibility. He even named the bird. I'll give that to you in a minute. And he was so focused. He is what I call my ninja-neer. Because he's part ninja, stealthy, sneaky. He wants to be effective. But he also is very mechanical, thoughtful, numbers-oriented, detail-oriented. And he is figuring out how to feed this bird. And he felt it deeply. And not only that, but his sister got involved. And she is so joyful. They named the bird together Jesse, because we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. And they are taking care of this bird. And it is actually starting to fly. They actually this week started feeding it more bird seed. It's getting stronger, and prayerfully it's going to fly away. All right, but there was conflict where the supremacy of Christ was greater than even the task. They were willing to work on the task. The task actually became very small. Let's do this task because it blesses Carlos, and actually we bless each other, which has totally happened beyond my wildest imagination, actually. It is so fun. Our kids, we're reading through the Green Ember series. Anybody read the Green Ember series here? Yay, let's go. I heard an interview with S.D. Smith, and he's a missionary kid, and he shared this in the podcast. He said, the paradise of our own glory. The paradise of our own glory. Back to where's your ship going? Where is glorious to you? It's a prison. Just locks you up. He says the key to unlocking it is love and hospitality for God's glory. And I just thought, there it is. There's the surpassing knowledge of Christ. The surpassing knowledge of Christ moves me to then open up my house to people I maybe never imagined I would. Working together like those women in Philippians. Or like these women. These are my daughters, and that is Gracie and Beulah. Gracie is from China. Beulah is Indian Qatari, raised in Qatar. And last year, all four of them got baptized. Last year, my daughters, around a fire pit, nailed some sins to a cross. We walked through the bridge diagram. It was just this miraculous moment. I really didn't see it coming. And they bowed their knee and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And through a series of events, we moved towards baptism. Gracie, her mom and her grandma were the first generation to come to Christ in China. And now every sibling in her family and all the brothers and sisters are Christians. And it was actually a family member who this year passed away in China. And she showed me a picture. You know, it was cold there in just a small little room, much smaller than this, where they had the Bible open and they were all reading. And that's happening in China. She is praying. She is a law student who just graduated, and she really wants to live in LA on Christ's mission. It's amazing. Beulah, she was raised going to church by these Indian Christians. Her grandma was also the first Christian, and growing up in Qatar, just never made that personal for her. She moved to USC and met us, started walking in the Lord, and said, I think I need to get baptized. I love that this picture is there because my daughters got baptized with women from very vastly different parts of the world. See, Christ's supremacy is greater than our backgrounds, our circumstances, and they united together and worshiped that day. This just happened Monday night. This is a number of brothers. Right next to me is Jesse. Jesse, right before his newest baby was born, said, hey, I would love to get the brothers together and go see Mission Impossible. And I don't really enjoy Mission Impossible. It just makes me nervous. It's like I know this whole thing is just designed to make me nervous. You know, it's like I'm just going to, you know. But for the sake of him, I really wanted to be there. And all these brothers, this brother Slevin on the far right, he came to know Christ at USC. He's from inland China. Sam is from southern India. Paul, I'm discipling right now, he's from India. Brian Che in the background's from Korea. The brother who's blurry, sorry, this was the best picture I had. He is actually an engineer and doesn't know Christ yet. Stephen Gordon, you know Stephen, he's from Florida. There's Greg, I'm from the nation of where the state religion's basketball. There's Jesse, who is about to have a baby. And I'll say more. Cole is from Denver, and he's Japanese-American. And then we have Keith Ellerby in the background there. And Keith, he's from Philadelphia. Very, very different than L.A. Ken, right here, he grew up battle rapping in South L.A. He came to know Christ just recently, about 3 years ago. And then there's Ben Gordon, who's also a Floridian. And just yesterday, Wednesday night, Jesse had his wife gave birth. Sonia, yeah. Yes, Sonia. And Jesse and Sonia have been here. They've spent time at Pat's house. Jesse was telling me that around the name of his son that Sonia had all kinds of eczema that gave her pain for many years. And in his heart, he is complaining. He's bitter to the Lord. And the Lord's like, you don't believe that I can heal your wife. And this wasn't about his wife being healed. It wasn't about having a baby boy. Jesse just took his heart to the Lord. And through many of the things that you guys are experts in, how to really bring your heart to the Lord and connect with him, Jesse's heart was ministered to. And he ended up calling up his wife that day, and he works as a lawyer, and Sonia said, I had to answer because he never calls me from work. This guy's so busy. And Jesse said, you know, I was just meeting with the Lord, and he told me he's a healer. How's your eczema today? And she said, it's better. And he just got off the phone in tears, and her eczema's only gotten better from that day. And they named their son Raphael, because Rapha in Hebrew means I'm a healer. Each brother in that circle could share a story like that. This is my last story. So this is Christmas time in the Christman household. And this is Anu and Sharon, both from India. And Anu last year gave birth to a premature baby, Abigail, about 6 weeks early, and she lived 4 days. Definitely the hardest funeral I've ever been a part of. This was just Christmas time this year. The passing was last August. And I do think about that picture, and I think about that S.D. Smith quote, you know. if life is just about making cookies, it's kind of just a dead end. A lot of people do that. A lot of people who don't even know Jesus do that. It's just part of family tradition. We're hosting because we love these women. Look at my daughter's faces. There is a glory there, and we didn't know this then, but we know this now, that she's pregnant again. And she's trusting the Lord for fruitfulness. And so I come back to where I started. My grapevine is right now, it gets trimmed all the way back. That's my new fence. And the brothers in our church, for my 50th birthday in February, built this fence over 2 weekends. Tore out the old one, put in the new one, and it's a beautiful fence. But here's what I love, is what this picture represents is a fruitfulness in Christ, that he is the vine and we are the branches. Seeing those brothers working together in my backyard brought me so much more joy than just having a fence. Seeing them be shipmates who work together because of the supremacy of Christ. Understanding that far beyond anything else, they had conflict on the job, by the way. We had some of the younger ones, probably some of my own children, who walked off the job. You know, not exactly chasing pigeons, but, oh, what's this? And we had brothers that came together. They prayed every morning. They prayed throughout the day. This fence and this vine, to me, represents our relationship. Like, I mean this, like my relationship to you. South LA Christian Life's relationship to Loveland. But that is only in relation to you knowing the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being the supreme being. Thank you for being our Lord and Savior that moves us into really hard things and really celebratory things and gives us a love and unity that the world doesn't even know. Yeah. Lord, would you bless Beggar's Gate? Would you bless the love and unity here? Would you bless them as they work on hard things this summer? Lord, I thank you for the faith of each of the believers here. Thank you, Jesus, that you ask us to ask you for the nations, and they're right there. They're right there in you. And so we worship you and celebrate you, all that you're doing in and among us. In Jesus' name, amen.